Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you. We're going to welcome our online audience as well as we listen to our prelude. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. What a glorious day. We are so glad that you all are here with us and joining us. We welcome our online folks as well. If you are joining us online, there should be a link in the Facebook feed and on the YouTube channel as well for the bulletin and all of the liturgy and prayers that you need to follow along with our service will be showing up on the screen. We invite you to take a few moments to check out all the announcements in the bulletin. All the things that are going on in the life of our church, especially as the spring is really starting to emerge. For all of you who like gardening and yard work, and who doesn't like gardening and yard work? We have a number of opportunities. We could use your help. On Saturday, April 30th, we will be having our spring cleanup here at the church. We invite you to come that Saturday morning and help us get things cleaned up. Also, on Saturday, May 7th, our Garden of Hope, which is the community garden that we help participate in, is having its launch, and we need lots of folks to come and help get that garden ready to go. A reminder that all of the produce that is produced goes towards our local food pantries, and so we could certainly use people's help for that. There's more information in the bulletin. On Tuesday, April 26th, there is a Soul Shop workshop for anyone who is interested in learning more about how to be a soul-safe community, a place in which people who are struggling with mental illness, and especially those who are impacted by suicide, can find support and strength. And so you are invited to participate in all of those. There's information in the bulletin about how to get involved with that and many other things. Our Sunday school is not meeting today, but we will start again next Sunday, and we have Sunday school for all ages, from the youngest to the oldest, and so we hope you will join us as we continue to grow in our faith journey together. Stephanie Hare and Debbie Hager are here to share another great thing that is going on in the life of our church.
Totally impromptu, this means nothing.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, Debbie, how's it going?
It's going great. I do want to ask you about something that's happening on May 4th.
Why, yes, that we do have something important happening on May 4th. It's our first CrossGen Wednesday evening, and it's happening from 5:30 to 7:30, and you and I are here to invite everyone to come.
Wait, everyone?
Yes, literally. We're inviting everyone, and we're calling it CrossGen because this is a gathering that crosses the boundaries of generations.
So wait, what exactly is going to happen on May 4th?
Oh, well, I'm so glad you
asked.
It is a Wednesday. Yeah. It is a Wednesday. So yeah, so we're going to share a meal together.
Okay.
We're going to do some faith formation activities that involve music and stories and learning from one another.
Well, I love it so far. I hope you guys do too. It sounds like a lot of fun. But why are we doing CrossGen Wednesday?
So, you see, intergenerational activities are really important for everyone in the congregation.
Right, but how so?
Oh, well, okay, I guess you want me to explain a little more. Fine. Okay, so by intentionally bringing people together across generations, we get to learn from one another and learn about each other in ways that we don't really get to do in our normal everyday parts of our lives, right? So that's super healthy. It's healthy for young people, it's healthy for older people, it's healthy for cynical, jaded Gen Xers just like me.
All right, I'm starting to pull it together now, and I feel like, you know, you're right. Faith communities are a wonderful place in our world where we do have opportunities to kind of come together and build our relationships. Sounds good, right? And also the whole thing about looking at each other as equals,
mm-hmm.
and treating each other with respect,
mm-hmm.
and hearing each other when we talk. So I kind of love that, and I kind of think that's how God wants us to live, too. So it's sounding pretty cool to me. I like this feeling of being able to connect on a Wednesday night with all these different generations.
It's true. It's super important, and it takes a little bit of effort, you know, especially these days. But if people are willing to give it a try, it can make a big difference in helping us feel connected to each other and to God.
So I want to go back to the everyone's invited.
Yeah, literally everyone.
Like, doesn't
everyone.
Matter how old you are?
Nope, doesn't matter.
Like Ken Sherman can come?
Ken Sherman
can
come. All right.
Wait, and it doesn't matter how young you are?
Doesn't matter how young you are.
So Oliver Perry can come?
Yeah, he should come, but he should probably bring his parents,
Alexander.
Too.
Oh, Alexander.
Yeah,
we have a new young one.
He should probably bring his parents, too, but yeah, he can totally come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Matt can come? My husband?
Yes, Matt can come.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's fine. I'm actually loving it, so it sounds awesome, and there is a link in your bulletin, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I do want you to go there and click on it, or call Stephanie or myself or Marissa Swift, and sign up, please, for May 4th. It is a Wednesday, no problem. It's 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. That means there's food, as Stephanie mentioned, and we do hope to see as many people as possible of all ages. It would really, really be so sweet.
On May 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. See you then.
So as we prepare to worship God, I would invite you all to still your hearts and minds for a moment. Take a deep breath. Become aware of the glory of this day, as well as the love which is all around us and within us.
Thank you.
please join me in our call to worship. Come and hear the good news. Christ is alive. Alleluia. Above and below, behind and before, within and without. Come and walk in the good news. Christ is risen. Let us stand and sing together. Nothing like blowing the rafters off this place. Thank you. Amen. As we gather for worship this morning, we come eager to celebrate good news, but often too quick to let it fade away and not impact our lives. Let us join together in a time of confession using the prayer printed in our bulletins and then in the silence that follows. Let us pray. God of resurrection power, you called us to walk with Jesus on a Lenten journey, in new ways. That journey led us deeper into the mystery of your love and to the cross. This morning, you called your Son out of the tomb, liberating the world from the bonds of sin and death. Hallelujah! Christ is risen indeed. Even now, you call us to join your way of resurrection, to walk the liberating path of new life, lived in communion with you, one another, and the world you love. Forgive us when we still fall into doubt and fear, when we cling to selfish ways and doubt your power to make all things new, when we fail to follow in your footsteps of self-giving love and service. On this joyful Easter day, Christ is risen and is calling us to walk with him out of the tomb and into the new life he offers us in your presence. As you abide with us, may we be Christ's body and your living presence in the world around us, following in your way of life-giving love and abundance wherever you lead us. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. The risen one is in our midst, walking with us and making us whole. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and freed from the powers of sin and death for God's new and abundant life. You may be seated. As we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, let us join together in a prayer for understanding. Walk with us into the good news of resurrection and new life, Jesus. As we seek your living word for our lives, open us to your presence along the way, in prayer and scripture, in contemplation and the world around us, so that we might be strengthened to follow you each day, walking your path of hope and peace, love and joy. Amen. Our first lesson this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. So I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I have heard that baseball season started, right? And I think the Mets even won. Is that right?
They're still winning.
All right. So I guess I was curious, what are the words that we use when something really good happens?
Let's go Mets!
Or what else might we say?
Yeah.
Let's go Yankees, right, why not? What else do we say when we're happy, when something good has happened?
Hooray!
What was the rest?
Fantastic. Terrific. Yoo-hoo. Wahoo. If you're in Texas, you might say yoo-hoo. So we use all kinds of different words to exclaim when we're happy. What do you say when, like, someone gets engaged or tells you they're going to have a baby? Congratulations. Yeah. So we have all kinds of words we use. So today on Easter Sunday, we have a special word that we use. Anybody know what it is?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right. And a lot of us may not realize it, but we haven't said that word for at least 6 weeks. In our Christian tradition during the season of Lent, we kind of put that word, alleluia, we put it away. Because Lent is supposed to be a time of reflection and contemplation and thinking about this road that Jesus is going to travel. And we know it's not going to be an easy one, and it doesn't seem appropriate to be celebrating and partying when we know what Jesus is about to go through. And so we kind of set alleluia aside for 7 weeks. We reserve it for today. And so last week we were all here on Palm Sunday, and we also had a word we used. What was the word we said last week?
Hosanna.
Hosanna, right. And we stood up and we waved our palms around for the first time in 3 years, and it was great. So today I'm going to invite you to stand up. And when I say Christ is risen, I would love to hear you say alleluia. Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
Now pretend that when I say Christ is risen, your favorite team has just won the Olympics. Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
All right. And now pretend you're at a baseball game or something else and say all those other words you said. Christ is risen. All right. I hope that you all will remember what it feels like to stand up and to shout alleluia. We have good news to share today. It is good news that we take with us no matter what life sends our way. And so we hope as you walk out of the doors today and into this Easter season and this gorgeous sunshine and new life, that that alleluia spirit remains in your heart. Amen.
I guess I should invite you to join us Texans and say wahoo, too, or something like that. Our second scripture lesson today continues the story that Tammy began in our first reading. It continues in John chapter 20. But Mary stood at the tomb, weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting with where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. I've been looking forward to this day for a long time. First, it's Easter, the pinnacle of the Christian year. I love the joy and celebration of this day, the music, the trumpet, the big organ sound, the flute. I love the Easter lilies and spring flowers, the choir, the alleluias, all proclaiming that Christ is risen from the dead. Lent is behind us, and the empty tomb is before us on a bright new day of light streaming into this space. I love the triumph of this day when we say Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. This day is so special that I'm even willing to wake up at 0:30 for a sunrise service. Today is even more special, though, something I've been looking forward to for 3 years. 3 years. That's how long we've been waiting to celebrate Easter together in person as well as online. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, Sunday, April 21st, 2019, was the last time we gathered together like this in person to sing Jesus Christ is Risen Today. In fact, this is the first in-person Easter worship service for Garrett, our Director of Music Ministries. He was beginning to think we didn't gather in person for Easter. We've learned and grown a lot over the past 3 years. Now we are a church that worships here, and everywhere people are online with us today. Now we are a church whose walls extend far beyond this space to people who need and want our church, its message, and community. But to be here again today, 3 years later, is not a right that was taken from us. It is a way of life that I, for one, don't want to take for granted, and will continue to celebrate this community as a true gift from God. The final word in our Lenten theme, Walking with Jesus, is especially appropriate and relevant today and this year. As you know, we've been exploring different ways to walk with Jesus using Diana Butler Bass's book, Freeing Jesus. After a powerful experience in prayer at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., she explores in her book what it means to set Jesus free in her own life after years of confining him to certain kinds of beliefs, creeds, and doctrines about him. She had the same kind of experience with Jesus that many of us have had in the pandemic. It was something so disruptive that we were forced to stop everything that we had been used to doing, often without much thought, and then re-examine our lives, both our life and our faith, and to think and act more intentionally, according to what is most necessary, most important, most life-giving. Like freeing Jesus, Lent has been an invitation to understand God and faith through the text of our own lives and take seriously how we encounter Jesus as friend, teacher, Savior, Lord, and way, both in the past and how we can be more open and aware of how and when Jesus shows up in our lives as we continue to walk with him and he with us here and now. Jesus isn't simply some idea out there, but is walking with us here. As Father Richard Rohr puts it in his book, The Universal Christ, God loves things by becoming them. How appropriate on this Easter Sunday, when we can finally gather again in person and online, that the last way we are invited to walk with Jesus is as presence. How is Jesus present to us and with us here and now in our lives, loving us into new life? Our scripture lessons from the Gospel of John don't start with the fanfare and celebration of our worship service. Instead, the Easter story begins in a quiet and mysterious place, what Frederick Buechner calls the darkness of the resurrection itself. That morning when it was hard to be sure what you were seeing. It would be easy to miss the story, how the story begins, because of all that we do to celebrate today. But the story begins like this. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Easter begins in darkness. It begins in a place that the creeds and confessions of the Christian church don't acknowledge. The darkness of fear and grief, doubt and struggle, confusion and loneliness, in pain. That's what Mary Magdalene was taking to the tomb with her. She had experienced the love of someone who welcomed her unlike any other person had before, who saw and affirmed her value as a person, and who walked with her out of her brokenness into a new life of discipleship and service. She would go to the tomb in the darkness of the morning, as well as in the darkness of her mourning, mourning someone who loved her deeply, whom she loved deeply, and now was gone. When I was growing up in church, darkness had little to do with resurrection. We waved palms on Palm Sunday and then celebrated life and light and salvation on Easter with little or nothing in between. However, our reading today from John's Gospel won't let us remove the resurrection from the darkness of its mystery or the darkness of our own lives. As author Debbie Thomas writes, the fact is, the resurrection happened in total darkness. Sometime in the pre-dawn hours of that Sunday morning, a great mystery transpired in secret. No sunlight illuminated the event. No human being witnessed it. And even now, 2,000 years later, no human narrative can contain it. It exceeds all of our attempts to pin it down because it's a mystery known only to God. Whatever the resurrection was and is, its fullness lies in holy darkness, shielded from our eyes. All we can know is that somehow, in an ancient tomb on a starry night, God worked in secret to bring life out of death. Somehow, from the heart of loss and misery, God enacted salvation. I suspect that Mary Magdalene was the first person to actually see the risen Jesus because she chose to be present to her own loss and misery. Peter saw the empty tomb and left. The beloved disciple saw the empty tomb and believed. We aren't sure what he believed. That the tomb was empty? That something special happened? That things should be okay someday? We don't know, but he left too. Mary, however, stayed at the tomb and wept like someone who had lost her best friend, her dearest companion, like someone confused and trying to make sense of it all. She wasn't thinking about miracles. She was thinking that even in death, Jesus was being harassed and his body moved somewhere else. Still, she stayed present to her loss and grief, to her confusion and pain, to the situation as it was. All three of them responded in legitimate ways. See and leave. See and believe. See and weep. Debbie Thomas writes, in other words, we come to the empty tomb as ourselves, for good or for ill. We don't shed our baggage ahead of time. It barges in with us and shapes our perceptions and our conclusions. What matters then is encountering the risen Jesus in the particulars of our own messy lives. What matters is finding in the empty tomb the hope we need for our own struggles, losses, traumas, and disappointments. Whatever universal claims we make as Christians must begin in the rich, fertile ground of our own hearts, our own stories. Whatever acclamations we cry out on Easter Sunday must begin with a willingness to linger in the garden, desolate and alone, listening for the sounds of our own names, spoken in love. For our testimonies to ring true, they must originate in radical, intimate encounter. The question we must answer is, how has the risen Christ revealed himself to you? There in her own personal darkness, Mary heard someone approach her. "Woman, why are you crying?" he asked. She thought he was a gardener who might know where Jesus' body had been moved. But he wasn't a gardener. When he spoke her name, she lunged forward and wrapped her arms around him, knowing exactly who he was. She clung to him so tightly that the Greek word makes me think of Velcro. She was not letting him go. Her beloved teacher and friend was alive. Her healer and companion was present to her. He was right there with her. But he couldn't stay. His pilgrimage, his mission, wasn't over yet. Neither was her journey of life and faith, it turned out. resurrection wasn't just a return to normal, to life as it had been before. Resurrection, it turns out, was the beginning of something no one could even dream of during Jesus' life. Not when they were following him and witnessing his teachings and miracles, not watching his suffering and death, and certainly not while they were living in the darkness of grief and loss afterwards. Mary would have to let him go as she had known him, so that Jesus could be even more fully present to her in wholly new and different ways. Not as some god of creeds, but embodied in who she was. He had spoken her name in the darkness and revealed life to her. And now she was ready to be with others in their darkness and watch for Jesus with them. She was ready now to help others see how Jesus would show up in their lives and offer them help to see and know that new life. She was ready to help others see that new life and build a community whose job it was and is to embody resurrection and new life in all of the lives that they would serve. I wonder what it was like for Mary to go back to the disciples and say, "I have seen the Lord." It wasn't true in some measurable, verifiable way. She had no pictures, no concrete proof, no data for their review. She herself was the testimony to his presence with her. She was the testimony to all the ways he had loved her and met her in her darkness and shared new life with her. Mary Magdalene is an example of what happens when we risk being in our own pain and loss and all the traumas and disappointments that we have, and let God meet us with unconditional love. In the darkness of Good Friday 2 days ago, we stumbled yet again through the Apostles' Creed in trying to say it together. After more than 25 years of Good Friday services, I have come to believe that that is probably the only way and the best way to say that creed. Not perfectly from memory, but with fits and starts. Believing some of it, doubting some of it, but using it as a way to find some words to help us in our walk with Jesus in life and faith. One phrase in particular spoke to me this year. I believe in the resurrection of the body. It's in the spirit section of the creed. It would be too easy to think that what it's saying is about going to heaven, that one day our body will come alive again and be in heaven somewhere. Maybe that's true. But if that's all we think it means, then we miss what it means here and now. For your body, for my body, for all bodies in this time and place and in this ministry that we share. If resurrection of the body is only about the next life, then we haven't let the resurrection disrupt our beliefs and our creeds, our routines and our assumptions, so that we can see Jesus walking with us in our darkness here and now, and offering us and all people new life, because all bodies, all lives are sacred. There is no doubt that the pandemic disrupted our lives and our faith and even our ministry, but the pandemic has also taught us an important lesson, Diana Butler Bass writes. Jesus was not confined to a building. Jesus was around our tables at our homes, with us on walks and hikes, present in music, art, and books, and visible in faces over Zoom. Jesus was with us when we felt we could do no more, overwhelmed by work and online school. Jesus was with us as we prayed with the sick in the hospital over cell phones. Jesus did not leave us alone to suffer. COVID-19 forced Jesus out of the cathedral and into the world, reminding Christians that church is not a building. Rather, church is where two or three are gathered, even if the two are you and your cat. Maybe I should ask for a woo-hoo there. Jesus was present in bread that people regularly baked, blessed, and broke together at family tables and homemade altars. I did not liberate Jesus from the cathedral, Bass wrote. A pandemic did. Jesus is with us here. So go out and encounter Jesus in your own lives, in the joys and sorrows of life, in the darkness and in the light, in the hungry and the thirsty you meet, in your body and the bodies all around you, in all of creation. Whether you believe in the resurrection of Jesus as a physical, bodily, literal rising from the dead, or a powerful symbol of transformation, renewal, and rebirth, what makes it real is when we experience Jesus walking with us, bringing us life in the midst of our darkness so that we can tell others, I have seen the Lord. That's when the good news of new life becomes truly present in our lives, in the lives of others, and in all of creation. Amen.
You may be seated. As we come into a time of prayer, you are invited to share your joys and concerns with us and those who are joining us online. We invite you to send your prayer requests to prayer@fpcyorktown.org or to put them in the Facebook feed, and we will certainly get them, and our prayer team will take them and put up a prayer ribbon for you out by our labyrinth, and we will continue to pray for you. So as we gather here together this morning, may we pray for you?
The joy of the wonderful flowers, even through the mask, I can smell the flowers.
Yeah.
Yes, the joy of the beauty of the sanctuary, and we thank everyone who helped decorate. So we pray for your friends as well as all those who are still dealing with COVID, who are catching it, struggling to recover from it. And we continue to pray for our world that we may continue to become more united around this pandemic and find a way to stop it. Connie. Yes, we pray for all the places where violence and war have broken out, especially Ukraine. Their Easter certainly must look very different this year, and we certainly ask that God would help us all to figure out a way to make peace instead of war. Yes, back there. Prayers for everybody who is struggling. We will pray. Thank you. Tamsin. Yes, we pray for families and all of the joys as well as some of the challenges that come with being part of a family. Yes.
Yes, the prayers for those who are not able to be in person with us, and prayers for those who are experiencing their first Easter without a loved one in their lives.
Connie. Yeah, so we pray for brothers and sisters in faith, especially in our Islam and Muslim and Jewish brothers and sisters in faith as we all celebrate our holy days together this weekend. Yes?
Prayer of joy for the many talents of
Ben. Yeah. And for people who don't know, he's the one playing the trumpet, and he's going to conduct the postlude, too. Yeah. Other joys and concerns. Abby.
Joy for all the babies who are here.
Yes. Joy for the babies. Yes. It's lovely to have children in worship. Absolutely. Prayers for John's healing. We will continue to pray. Yes. Any others? All right. Then let us continue in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Holy and wondrous God, it wasn't so long ago that we gathered together on a silent, starry night to celebrate the birth of Christ and reflect on the mysteries of your incarnation, that you loved us so much that you became one of us to help us know you, love you, and follow you. Now, O Lord of darkness banished and hope restored, we gather again to celebrate the good news of this gorgeous morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Radiant God, we praise and worship you. For empty tombs, we thank you. For disciples running with good news, we thank you. For your presence, alive, powerful, resurrected, we thank you. This morning, we celebrate that you come to us in unexpected places, God. In a crowded room, on a journey along a dusty road, through the hills and valleys of our lives, in conversation and in stillness. You come in the midst of our doubt, our fear, our sorrow, for no pain or suffering is unknown to you. In every time and place, O living Christ, you come in, and with the power of your resurrection, love, and new life. Surprising Savior, help us to grasp the good news of resurrection, to understand its power, and how it calls us to be and to live, to see its force at work in our world, overturning evil empires, changing the hatred within us, moving the world slowly, forcefully, bending us towards love and truth, justice and peace. God of healing and wholeness, new life and hope, help us to remember that you are with us in every time of perplexity, to guide and direct us. You are with us in every time of sorrow, to comfort and counsel us. You are with us in every time of temptation, to strengthen and inspire us. You are with us in every time of loneliness, to cheer and befriend us. You are with us even in death to bring us into your beloved presence. Today, we think especially of all those who are troubled in body, mind, or spirit. We remember those who are grieving, those who are sick, and those who are dying. We pray for places in our world that are torn apart by war and violence and bloodshed. And we pray for all those people who are trapped in tombs of addiction and despair, poverty and oppression. Hear us, O God, in the silence as we lift up the concerns of our hearts to you. On this day of great gladness, empower us to be your ambassadors, proclaiming good news in our kitchens and our communities, good news in our offices and workshops and classrooms, good news in the fields and factories and in our families. Help us to be that good news, walking softly on this good earth, caring gently for all people, working courageously for your peace and justice, living hopefully into your kingdom. In this world of broken hopes and dreams, we look to the empty tomb and to Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, in whom we catch sight of your kingdom come, and through whom we celebrate your victory over death and over all the powers that would defeat us. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Love reigns. New life is for all. We lift up our prayers to you, Holy God, in the name of the one who walks with us every day and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come into a time of an offering, an opportunity to respond to God, to respond to what we have heard this morning, to respond to the love and grace that we receive every day. And as we come into this place this morning, Leah McAuliffe, one of the co-leaders of our pantry, is here to speak to us again about our 40 cans for Lent. Oops, I gave away your answer.
Well, happy Easter, everyone.
Sorry.
With that hint, how many cans are we up to today? Good. Now, I have a harder question for you, since that one seemed easy. Does anyone know what the liturgical color of Easter is? White, purple is Lent, and so I'd like to welcome all of you to my one-minute white hominy homily. Now, Lent is over, but as my mother so eloquently put it, hunger is not. And I read something very interesting the other day, which is that humans are spectacular at acute caring, but struggle with chronic compassion. And so, this Easter, and in the weeks and months going forward, I invite you to take what we learned during Lent, what we learned in the darkness of the tomb, and what we learned on this Easter Sunday forward, and continue to be incredible partners with us at the pantry in being a pillar for our community, not only feeding our hungry neighbors, but as a bastion where we can come together and everyone can feel human and loved. Thank you all, and I look forward to counting the cans.
So feel free to bring your 40 cans to the church at any time this week. Also, I will point out in your bulletin our Easter offering, which we begin to receive today and throughout the season of Easter, goes to support CHOP, caring for the hungry and homeless of Peekskill, as well as our Garden of Hope, our Yorktown Community Food Garden. And so we invite you to take some time to, as you enjoy the music, to also respond in joy and generosity for all that God has blessed us with. Thank you. please join me in the prayer of dedication printed in your bulletin. Living God, we thank you for the good news of Easter and its promise of new and abundant life for us and for this world you love. Walk with us each day, Jesus, and be our friend and teacher, our Savior and Lord, our way and presence always. Use us and our gifts to love and serve you, to live your resurrection hope and share it with everyone we meet through our words and action, our ministry and mission as Christ's body here on earth. Amen. So as many of you know, we've been passing the peace using sign language, especially during the pandemic when it's been a little difficult to feel comfortable. And we have lots of people here, and I'm not sure everybody would be comfortable shaking hands or high-fiving today, so we are going to continue to use sign language. And so I would invite you to join with me for those of you who know it, and for those of you who don't, just wave your hands around. We'll understand what you're doing. So the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And also with you.
As you go out today, take the good news with you back into your joys and your sorrows, back into the joys and sorrows of other people's lives, so that together you may find new and renewed ways to see Jesus walking with you. And as you do, may you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit always. Please be seated.